verbiage, and that has to do with not only the message about the cross, but the way that he talks to people that are around him. The second way is that we are living epistles. People read and see Christ in our life. The third way is the gifts of the Holy Ghost, confirming who Christ is. Mm-hmm. Remember, they asked and said, well, when the Messiah comes, will he do more miracles than this man? And of course, no, and they knew that it would be a man because of the prophecies of Isaiah and so forth. And so the nine gifts of the Spirit unveil to mankind not only the work of Christ, but the authenticity of that work and of his redemptive plan, but it also unveils portions of God to us. Nine gifts unveil nine aspects of God to our life. And then just as the nine fruits of the Spirit verify our identity, it's these nine gifts help identify God. And so we're going to get into a prophecy today, which is some things we'll discuss. I believe it will be a blessing to you. But before we do, let's go and see a couple of miracles that took place, I believe, in Honduras.
Your name.
I command you in the name of Jesus, you deaf devil, come out right now in the name of Jesus.
Be open.
Deaf devil, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out. Be open. Oh God. Oh God, your glory. The nerve in these God. Make your hero whisper. In Jesus.
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 Tell her, repeat.
Repite lo que él te dice.
Praise God.
This growth right now, I command it to go in Jesus' name. Tell her to swallow. Now tell her to feel for that growth. Take her right up there. Take her right up on stage and tell her. Take her right up there. Get her up there. Hallelujah. Well, we see that God still does it. Of course, you see that I'm still alive, so he's done it in my generation. But he's doing it through people just like you and I and others that are viewing. One thing about that deaf girl, she was born deaf. And the night before I cast that spirit out of her, she did not hear. And I said, God, what's going on? He said, we'll talk about it in the room. So I got back to the hotel room and I said, what's going on? And he said, that woman that is with that young girl, which was her aunt, I later come to find out, says has a connection with her and she has been involved in like witchcraft and she is controlling that girl. And she resists what God was doing cause of authority. Right. And if you will break that over that woman, that girl will be healed.
Oh, wow.
So the next night she came forth. So I looked at her aunt and I asked the interpreter, ask her if I can pray for her and, you know, say whatever I needs to be said. Mm-hmm. And so we asked her and she said, yes. So I told the interpreter, no more interpreting until I tell you.
Right.
And so what I did was in English, I broke that controlling devil. I broke the power of witchcraft, and I loosed her authority because she told me I could do so.
Mm-hmm.
So I broke that, and then I turned and prayed for that girl. Been deaf, I think it's 13, 14 years, and God opened her deaf ears.
Right. So sometimes, as in this case, there is a information that comes knowledge to you
right.
about how to deal with it. It's not always the case, though, but sometimes that does happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. And sometimes you can gain information just by asking a question. You know, if you go to cast out a deaf spirit and it's not a spirit, it may have been caused by a disease. Somebody was in an accident. Somebody got hit and their eardrum exploded. You know, all types of things cause sickness and disease. Mm-hmm. But the adversary will take advantage of that. Doesn't mean that he's not behind it. It just means that it's not a what we would call a spirit that is causing that or indwelling that person.
Sure.
But so sometimes we have to just ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
There's sometimes I pray for people and nothing happens, and I say, okay, when did this disease come upon?
Mm-hmm.
Then they start unveiling things, and I say, oh, okay, and then God will, you know, lock on and say, that's the reason.
Right.
And so don't be afraid to ask questions. Jesus asked a woman at the well, you know, where's your husband? And then he said, well, you know what? You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, my word, he told me everything I knew. Mm-hmm. So there it behooves us to ask questions. If you don't get results, just don't cave in. Just ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus did that with a young man that brought his son to him. And he said, what's going on? The man said, well, he's got a deaf and dumb spirit. And Jesus said, when did it come up on him?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jesus was looking, was there a transgression? Maybe he was looking, you know, was there a sickness or disease? And the father never addressed those things. He said, when he was a young child.
Mm-hmm.
So the devil is after anybody. But he could have very well said, well, you know, he fell off of a roof. Or, you know, got kicked in the head by a donkey.
Yeah.
And whatever it could have been, and it could have been that cause. And Jesus probably would have prayed differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because in John, the 9th chapter, Jesus, by a word of wisdom, you know, orchestrates how a man's eyes are going to be loosed, mm-hmm. blind. He's been born blind.
Yeah.
And Jesus doesn't cast the blind devil out.
Right.
What he does is gets him to loose his faith in some way that Jesus perceived this man has to do this.
Yeah. The question that comes up is what's asked sometimes. You know, we know all of imperfections are seated in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
They're an outgrowth of the fall of man, sin in the world, and those kind of things. So as you're saying, that this blind man from birth wasn't necessarily had a spirit of blindness.
No.
But sometimes it is.
Yes. And because in, I think it's Matthew, the 9th chapter, Jesus cast out the spirit of blindness, and the man saw.
Yeah.
So, well, how does one get it and one doesn't have it? I have no idea.
Right.
I don't know, so there's no sense in explaining. But that does come under the place where, you know, you need to ask questions.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and the discerning of spirits will help us
mm-hmm.
in that when we get
right.
into that. But today, kind of, we're going to talk about another gift. And so if you can read from verse 1 Corinthians 12, 7 down through 11, then we're going to jump into the gift.
All right, here we go. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Last week we talked about the working of miracles and how it's a progressive, you know, evidence producing another dimension of faith so that we can believe. So today we're going to jump into prophecy.
That's a
yeah, it's a prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues are probably the three most used, most misused gifts because there really is no evidence whether it was God or not.
Uh-huh.
So Man's heart is most deceptive. A man's ways is always right in his own eyes. A man's human spirit and his soul can mimic the voice of God.
Right.
So when it talks about the gift of prophecy, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14th chapter, and let's look at verse 3. Well, let's look go from verse 1 down through 3, Kylan.
14, verses 1 through 3. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort.
Let's go to verse 4 and 5 because they still have the word in prophecy in there.
Okay. And he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edify himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that all you spake in tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edification.
So these gifts have to do, the gift of prophecy, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues have to do with conveying something that God desires to say to a congregation, to an individual, and it has to do with vocal expression. And it also says that, you know, if tongues and interpretation of tongues come together, then it is equal of prophecy. Now, when we talk about prophecy, what do you think about prophecy?
Oh, my goodness. That, you know, for me, you know, I think of prophecy, first off, Old Testament.
Yeah.
That the prophets were, they would prophesy to people, but they were more of a overall prophecy to the nation, and they really were prophesying towards idolatry and injustice. You find that in Isaiah, Ezekiel, all those. It was more of a big picture towards the nation of Israel, calling them back to repentance, you know, before God. That's my first thought when I think about prophecy.
And now, that brings me to a real important part, that people that prophesy do not carry the office of a prophet.
Right.
A gift is different than an office.
Right.
Different makeup, different anointings, different measures of faith. And so
somebody works in the gift of prophecy doesn't make you
does
a fivefold ministry
them,
gift of a prophet, like
right.
Isaiah was, Ezekiel, and so forth.
Absolutely. Now, when those men taught, and usually it is these things like this get into the error that, you know, men prophesy and therefore they're a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
But a prophecy in its simplest form in the scripture as the gift does not constitute the office of a prophet.
Right.
And in the Old Testament, those men would speak as prophets. And prophets are several ways. I don't think that America has, and nor the body of Christ in my lifetime, has ever had a prophet to this nation. A nation that they would hear, or a nation that would say, this is the Lord, or a man is speaking. And so gifts are kind of geographical.
Mm-hmm.
They're associated with certain groups. Like, I pastor Only Believe Ministries Christian Center. Now, somebody would honor me or show me respect by saying, hi, Pastor Dosak. But I really would be that only in a place of honor if I did not pastor their life.
Right.
I would be pastor of Only Believe Ministries Christian Center. The man down the road is pastor of whatever church. That is the way that it is with prophets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David had Nathanael in his courts as a prophet.
Right.
But there were other prophets in the nation. There was a school of prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And so But then you see rising up on the scenes, you see Elijah, Elisha, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. They were national prophets.
Right.
And the problem with the church today is that we do need the office of the prophet, but it needs to be a prophet that is anointed enough and carries enough impact and that is strategic enough and simplified and authentic enough that the church could rally around a voice. Now, that voice may only speak 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Kind of like we think that, you know, Elijah got up every day and prophesied to the wind. He did not.
Right.
And, you know, and Abraham didn't, you know, commune with God 24 hours a day and God just saying, hey, Abe, how you doing? Hey, man. Hey, how you doing, God, man? Hey, glad to meet you, dude. You know, he didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have times that God spoke to Abraham, mm-hmm. but the other times were silent.
Right.
And so when we talk about, you know, the gift of the from the office of the prophet, we have to understand that they are geographical.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody could be a prophet to England and not have any voice
right.
here.
Right.
And most of the time that when men are prophesying today and saying, you know, this is for the nation, this is the body of Christ, you know, there is an emphasis. You better heed to what God is saying. I'm telling you, it's, you know, like, you don't have to do that. Just let the words fall where they fall.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And God will vindicate and bring to pass the word. But when we're trying to be a prophet, we end up being a prophet to nobody. And then the other great dilemma, Kylan, that people may hear, I've heard people say, you know, come to our school or come to this meeting and we're going to teach you how to prophesy. So we get to learn how to prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking that this is a gift of prophecy
right.
that comes from the Holy Ghost dividing severally as he wills.
As he will.
So can it be learned? No. Can it be mimicked? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This gift belongs to the Holy Ghost,
mm-hmm.
divided to severally who he would have to speak as a representative of God.
Right.
But, you know, when we go in and say, you know, just, you know, whatever comes up out of your spirit or whatever comes to your mind, that can get really way out.
You know, I've seen where they say, all right, you know, get with somebody and just whatever, you know, that's the Holy Ghost telling you to say this. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, you can't conjure up the gift.
No.
You can't make it. You can't force it to happen because you want to try to do it.
No. Now, you can mimic,
mm-hmm.
but you cannot make it happen.
Right.
I've said this in the past, and I'm not sure that I understand it, but sometimes I think people can draw or connect with someone's soulish need to hear something.
Sure.
Because we can be drawn, we can have compassion upon people and so forth, so we can become aware of the cries of human heart or mm-hmm. the human spirit, or, you know, I perceive that this woman is
sure.
broken. I perceive that this guy is
sure.
going through
and
a hard
time. And that's not hard.
No, absolutely not, because you see it on their face, you can,
yeah.
and you start reading certain things. I mean, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes that we do grave injustices trying to mimic
mm-hmm.
God or be used of God when it's really not God.
Sure.
And so prophecy is something, it is a gift. And it belongs to the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Holy Ghost doesn't do it, then there's no sense in us doing it. We should not be so insecure with the people that are around us that we have to perform for them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have these things in the church saying, hey, man, pray and let God give you a word for me. Well, I'm telling you, like, I just go bust on. I'm telling you, I can't stand
and
that
you,
type of pressure.
I've seen advertised special services. everybody that comes will get a word.
Oh, good.
And then afterwards, you can pay $5 and get the CD with your word on it.
Yeah,
you know, you see things like that. I mean, it's just like, you know, no.
No. I think those things are just the work of insecure, unlearned, and if they're mature enough or old in the Lord, charlatanism of the body of Christ.
Right.
And nobody can teach you how to prophesy. Mm-hmm. You'll prophesy because the Holy Ghost moves you.
Right.
And it's real simple. Prophecy from a prophet will foretell something.
Mm-hmm.
Agabus, when he came down, he took Paul and he took his girdle and said, the man that wears this girdle will be delivered up to the hands of the Jews and Gentiles in Jerusalem. And he told what was going to happen. He prophesied of a famine that was coming into the land. And it came to pass. When he said it would happen, it would come to pass. In other words, in the early church, men were held accountable to the office that they held.
Right.
And if you were not on the money, then you were out of the office.
Right. And that's the thing is people, you know, in the charismatic Pentecostal churches, obviously, there is, we don't want to suppress.
No.
But people need to be responsible.
Yes.
For what they do.
Yeah.
And that's where we lose it. In the effort to be free, but they're so free, they're not responsible. They want to walk around and hit six people and say all this stuff and have no responsibility to what they said.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we have to be cautious so that we, when we say something, that word has been recorded by God because we have put his name on it. Thus saith the Lord.
Exactly.
And you could
although
say,
we don't want to against the press that, but there's a weight. There's a weight to that.
But there
when
is.
What God said on that,
yes,
there's a weight to
it. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do something in his name that he's not aware of. And so, you know, sometimes men and women, you know, feel the pressure to do it or whatever. But if somebody says something, it should come to pass.
Sure.
Or there needs to be apology from the person that has said it and that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because our verbiage, our conversations are connected very intimately with our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you and I started talking and we got excited, you're not going to be heard. I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife said, honey, I'm not your enemy. We aren't fighting. I said, I know, but this needs to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know you're trying to make your point.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the day goes on. So that night I get to say, honey, I'm not your enemy.
Right.
Because we are emotional beings and our words are connected to our emotions. That's how we're expressing ourselves. And so sometimes men can get involved in their emotions because of, you know, maybe just what they're feeling towards another.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a leading of God, but they ought to be praying instead of prophesying or condoling or encouraging instead of prophesying.
Right.
So that is one. Paul ran into some men in, I think it's Acts 20 or 21. Yeah, let's go. Acts 21. We'll start at 1 and go down. And it says, and it came to pass that after we were gotten from them, and we had launched, and we came with a straight course unto Coos. Is that Coos?
Yeah.
And the day following unto, you're going to have to read that because I wrote over mine.
Rhodes,
okay.
Yep.
And came from hence unto Pitara, and findeth a ship sailing unto Phoenicia, we went abroad and set forth. Now, when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed unto Syria and landed at Tri, and for their ship, the ship was unladen her burden. And then it says this, and finding certain disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed, went our way, and they brought us on our way with wives and with children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and we prayed. Then when we had taken our leave, one from another took a ship and they returned home again. Now, this sounds pretty good, except Paul said, that's not what God told me. I go bound in the spirit. I have become captivated. I have become imprisoned by the vision that God has showed me. And so prophecy cannot forego what God has said in your life. Prophecy should confirm what God has said in your life. Because after this encounter with these men, he goes up and he goes to Philip, the evangelist's house. Philip has four daughters and they prophesy. Now, it's not said what they prophesied, but they certainly didn't say don't go up, because Paul does go up. And Agabus tells him, you're going to Jerusalem. And so Agabus confirms something, but these men, it says that they, through the Spirit. Now, what would that mean? How could it say they, through the Spirit?
Well, they believed they were receiving. They thought they had, you know, what they thought God was saying.
Yep. But it was totally contrary to God.
Right.
Now, Paul doesn't rebuke them, so he must say, these guys don't know what they're talking about. And he just moves on.
Yeah.
Or he realized their immaturity. Or he realized that, you know, they're saying this, but it's not hurting anybody. I'm thankful that God, you know, they're trying to be used to God, but this has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Because they prophesied, don't go.
Right.
And that was totally contrary. And so I think that when it says through the Spirit, it doesn't say through the, it, now in my Bible it's capitalized. So they would say through the Holy Ghost. But I know that the Holy Ghost would not have inspired those men. So they must have, through the Spirit, prophesied, whether it's out of their own human spirit, or it could be, I didn't look up the word before the program, or it could be the same spirit word that we use for soul. And they prophesied to Paul out of their human spirit or out of their soul, their desire for Paul. Really what this is manipulation. This is manipulation by a group of disciples that think they know more than God, trying to override the decision of Paul and put him on a course that will benefit them. Now that tells us how dangerous the gift of prophecy, when misused, becomes. And now, we don't put weight with that, Kylan. These men probably said, thus saith the Lord. And they were lying.
You know, unfortunately, Paul
was mature enough.
He was sure in what God told him. So for the person that hadn't necessarily received that sure word yet for themselves, that the prophecy should be confirmed.
Yeah, they're feeling like God wants them to do
that's
something.
That's where discernment, and it's another topic later, that's where discernment, they have to pray on these things. They have to roll it in their spirit with God to confirm that this is not just, oh, yeah, and and here we go. You know, that's the danger of it.
Right.
I think you've told a story about somebody telling you you're an evangelist. Oh, that happened to me when I first started ministry.
I had
ministry,
many
and I'm
people
like,
tell me I was an evangelist, and finally the Lord said, I didn't tell you that.
And
I said,
same
but
thing
they
happened
did.
To me.
He said, go to them and get money.
Yeah, and that was, I was young in ministry at the point at that time, and the same as you were. And fortunately, I knew that I was called into pastorship.
Yeah.
And it was just easy for me to walk away and say, you know. But it was an easy decision for me. But for the person that's not sure, they have to weigh these things
Yes.
that they receive from people.
That brings us to another point. When prophecy is given, and people tell you, you know, now you got to do it. Well, that takes out a portion of the scripture, because the Bible says that we have to prove all things.
Mm-hmm.
Bible tells us to judge all things. He that is spiritual judges all things. We have to, in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. So we have to employ people that are our peers or people that have had influence in our life, mature people, and let them speak into our life and say, this is what's been said.
Yeah.
So they can take it through the sections of proving and judgment, dissecting, and even allowing the gifts to be used through them to help. Now, I would never tell anybody, well, that wasn't God. I would just say, okay, let's look at it. Then I'd say, well, you know, here are the things that you have. I would encourage you to pray for them. Don't do anything hastily.
Sure.
And because some people say, you know, you got to do it now. I remember we had a guy here, and we knew one day he was going to go be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, you sit here and you learn, and you'll learn to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day he got a call. And the guy said, hey, I got a word of God for you. You know, you need to do it right now. Come on, now's the time. God said now. Well, lo and behold, he moves from a job of $50,000, got kids, and goes to a place he doesn't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And if it hadn't been for mom or dad, his family would have been homeless. Now, what happened? Well, he certainly shouldn't have went. But he never told me, Pastor, what do you think?
Yeah.
He said, this is what he said, and I believe the word of the Lord from him, so I'm going. I said, oh, great deal.
Exactly, yeah.
Be blessed,
hallelujah. Go follow.
Because if you tell them, oh, no, that's not God. Oh, you're just trying to quench your spirit. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm so overwhelmed with jealousy that you're going to go and start a church.
You're the same way I am with this stuff. When somebody comes to me and says, God said this, okay, I don't. Respond.
Right.
Okay, then go. You heard from God.
Oh, yeah. I had a guy come to say one time, you know, God told me to marry this woman. I said, okay. He'd only met her once. And he's going to Texas to marry her and pick her up and bring her back. And I said, oh, okay. He said, what do you think? I said, you have just took me out of the realm of thinking. You didn't ask my opinion.
Right.
You didn't ask my counsel. You told me that God told you.
Exactly.
To marry that woman.
What am I going to say if God said,
yeah,
right?
What am I supposed to say? God, what, are you nuts? Do you know this?
Argue with him about what God said.
That's
hey,
right. I said, hey, go and be blessed. You know, I don't know what else to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, if you think so. I said, no, that's not what I said. Mm-hmm. I said, if you're saying that God told you to do so, then be blessed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not agreeing with you or disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying if God told you, you ought to be blessed in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this type of stuff happens more than pastors want it to happen.
Yes. As a pastor, from pastor's heart, that's an
absolutely.
Important point of view because of the shepherding of the sheep and their maturity, their growth, but the safety of the sheep, too.
Yes, absolutely.
That these things can come in and weed out the sheep and turn into things, obviously, that God did not say.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and now we have a life that needs repaired. A life that's hurt, a life that's broken, and however that person responds to the relationship with God because of this stuff, it dominoes into a lot of different things.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, man, people can get off and say, well, you know, I got a word when I was there. Okay, did you know the guy? No. Okay, so, you know, maybe one of the first things is approve and know those that labor among you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what his track record is. You don't know if he's hit 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10, or 10 out of 10. Well, I just felt the Lord. You know what? On any good day that I was going through a trial, if I heard a word from God, I'd want to feel it too. If I didn't hear a word from God, I'd be thinking, maybe Jesus, this is you. Emotions.
Right. I've heard it said, if you try to rush through the kingdom of God, you're going to miss it.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, sometimes we receive these things. We have to slow down and contemplate and listen to the Spirit ourselves.
Yes.
You know, to get the confirmation. Okay, that was confirmation. That was something that God has said.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going. But let's not, you know, fools rush in.
Yes.
You know, that's the case in a lot of times.
And I, you know, the Bible tells Job, I speak once, I speak twice, Job 33:14. And you hear me not because you're so busy.
Yeah.
So God knows that men, even though they love him and serve him, can get caught up with life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that it's right, but we get caught up in life.
Yeah.
But the Bible says that God comes and speaks to man. And he speaks to him in dreams.
Mm-hmm.
My concept, people always say, well, you know, how do you hear from God? Well, you want to set time apart.
Exactly.
And what you want to do is you want to study the scriptures that have to do with what you're trying to listen mm-hmm. or what you need a hearing for. If I was listening, you know, God, what am I supposed to do with my life? I would start reading the stories. And as you read, you are seeking. God knows that you're seeking
mm-hmm.
His purpose, his plan for your life. And guess what? You that seek the Lord shall find him.
Yeah.
That's a promise.
Yeah.
And so I don't just go, boy, I've got to hear from God. I understand that. But if you're putting pressure on and getting weary and getting desperate and all that kind of stuff, you're going to get something you don't want.
That's the key word. We're getting desperate. We want to have something now. And that's not the way it works.
Yeah, we want to hear. We want to have a word. We want to have a purpose. We want to have a call.
So we will latch on to anything. Any person that comes, we'll latch right on that because I got to have it now. And
there you go. Yeah. Abraham really never started. He started at 75 years old, but he really never saw the fruition of his faith or the promise of God until he's 99 years old.
Yeah.
That's a pretty long time. Mm-hmm. But he starts his ministry as being the father of faith that shakes the world and is still today the foundation of every believer's faith. And he did it when he was an old man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. Lester Sumrall started his ministry in America at the age of 50 and helped shape this whole nation
mm-hmm.
in like, gosh, 25 years.
Yeah.
Built television stations and ministered and traveled all over the world mm-hmm. and fed people from all over the world. He did it at 50.
Right.
And
right.
So we when we come here, kind of, we ought to just take our time. And I think this, here's my concept. My concept is if I walk with God, I'll run into him.
Exactly.
My grandkids, I'm walking down the hallway and Lincoln, Quentin's got shoes almost big as mine, and Lexi, and they look and they're walking on my flip flops and you know, man, then Lincoln got big 12 and a half, and I'm thinking, son, God gave you 2 feet, please use them. My word, you know, because you follow somebody, you're gonna run into them.
Yeah, I like the terminology you use. You walk with God.
Yeah,
it's just every day walking with God. And you meet him at moments.
Yes.
And he's with you. He never leaves you. But there's certain moments where you have those meetings, you know, and he just shows up and you just know. You had a meeting with
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely.
But that's that walking. And that,
yes.
And that's how we confirm. That's how we know. You know, the gift of prophecy is important, obviously, if it's there.
Right.
But don't rely on somebody else giving you something.
Never rely on hearing from man when you want to hear from God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you do, now if God uses men,
sure,
we all shout hallelujah. But if he doesn't, we're still going to continue until we hear from God.
And that's the important part of confirming.
Yes.
We're walking with God. We're having meetings with him. Those words confirm what we're discovering in our walk with God.
Right. It mm-hmm. should confirm, not point to, not manipulate, not
exactly.
turn, twist,
mm-hmm.
not somebody else's idea for your steps. So prophecy is very important. And we're going to pick this up tomorrow, on Thursday, and we're going to talk about prophecy. And I see we got some questions
there. Yeah, got some
there.
Questions about it.
So we're going to talk about this tomorrow. We want to pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I loose, God, the gift of prophecy. Let it be loosed mm-hmm. on the inside
Amen.
Of them. God, let faith to operate in it. God, come. God, let them realize that you're going to give them a word. They're going to speak that mm-hmm. word, and then you're going to add to it. God, let them be bold. Let them have faith. Let them know that God, in the house of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
that God, there may be instruction, but it's done in love. and that God instruction is a way of life. Mm-hmm. And God, as we learn to walk with you, as we learn to hear from you, that we can be effective voices in our church and in other people's lives, God, lead us and guide us. God, we're ready to go through any process. We just want to have our lips touched by you, that God, other people can be edified, comforted, and exhorted in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to see you Thursday again at 9 o'clock. God bless. Bye-bye.